The Big Scottish Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 159 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I am Stephen Mill and joined by three-time First Division Manager of the Month. It is Gordon Dalziel. How are you doing?
I'm doing absolutely brilliant this Monday morning.
Because it's Christmas on Thursday. We're three sleeps away. Gordon, are you all excited and all the rest?
I've got all my Christmas shopping, everything done. Wrapped, everything.
I've got one more thing to get. Right. But it's a voucher, so that's fine.
Oh, right,
and then I've just got to wrap it.
There's no thought in that.
No, there is.
No,
there is.
There's no thought. It's terrible.
No, I'm telling you, there's a lot of thought going into this voucher.
It's too easy. It's like giving
I can't
a card with money.
I can't say what it is because the person who's receiving it might be listening to this podcast.
Right, okay.
So I'll tell you next week what it was.
And I bet it doesn't go down well. Know you're a good lady.
No, I'm telling you right now that it's not, but it'll go down very well. It's a really, really thoughtful voucher.
No vouchers are thoughtful, mate.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not. And everybody listening to this podcast will agree with me.
There's no
thought going into, I'll go and get a Costa voucher for 10 quid.
No fucking Costa voucher. Jesus Christ.
I just made that an example.
This voucher's worth £150.
Ooh.
See, that's a game changer.
That's a game changer. It must be a decent voucher.
It is a decent voucher.
Gives a clue, is it for clothes?
It's not for clothes. It's for food. Not like...
What a greedy...
No. But
right, so we're looking for an overweight person.
No, we're looking for somewhere that's quite fancy. That's what I'm saying.
There you go.
It's a fancy place. So,
right,
so okay. No vouchers were given out by you, no?
No. No.
Do you make notes like when people say stuff?
Yeah.
Do you actually?
Yeah.
That's very thoughtful of
you. Yeah, I do. It's the only way I can do it, mate, because I am absolutely terrible at
remembering things.
And I can say this now because it happened a long, long time ago. The most embarrassing thing I've ever done at Christmas was I was sort of leading a double life, if you know what I mean.
Okay, right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I was down in Ayrshire and I was in Motherwell, and I was sort of leading a sort of double life, and I'm not proud of it, let me tell you.
Yep.
But I'll just tell the story anyway. And because I was that bad at buying Christmas presents, I bought the same Christmas present for two people.
Right, okay.
And they happened to bump into each other.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and recognised it. Oh, they're lovely earrings.
Really?
Mate, that was not the highlight of my life. Let me tell you.
So was that what burst the dam? Is that what broke the camel's back?
But to be fair, and I'm going to say it, and I say I'm not proud. I wasn't married at the time, right? But I was sort of old and new. If you know what I mean. And the one decided that, hold on a minute, he's spending too much time away from Motherwell. He's always in there. And obviously I was a manager at the time.
Right. So this was so good, you were spinning a lot of plates here.
I was spinning a lot of plates. And they actually got a detective to follow me.
Like a PI?
PI, yeah. This is true, by the way, right? And I met the guy 15 years later, right? And he was chatting to me and he says, it's the best week I've ever had in my life.
So they actually hired a private detective to
follow me, yeah. That's true.
That's mental.
And then what happened was, while I was sitting having a bit of dinner with, let's say, the new one.
Okay, right.
The old one come in the back door because I'd said that obviously I was staying down near Ayrshire, but I wasn't.
Yeah.
I was flying up a wee flying visit to Motherwell, and I thought I'd get away with it. And she come in the back door and sat down. The two of them had a chat and they had the same earrings on. It wasn't a good moment.
No, I couldn't imagine that'd be very good.
It probably was the worst dinner I've had for a long, long time.
Right, well, hopefully your Christmas dinner this year is a wee bit better than
that. Yeah. I'm with somebody really special now, and there's only one bit of presents. I don't want to ruin it in case you...
Okay, right, that's right, fine. So did you have them all wrapped and, like, everything done?
I don't wrap. I get my daughter to wrap.
Fair enough.
Right,
fair enough.
I get my sister to help me buy.
Right.
Right, so I'll listen to what people say, and then I'll say, right, here's an idea of what I want.
Mm-hmm.
into the shops. My sister will say, right, okay, if it's between that one and that one, she's got good taste, so she'll help me pick the...
Fair enough, the fair enough. That's sensible. What about, like, do you like getting presents yourself? Or
love
you,
it.
Or do you?
Oh, I love presents, yeah. Tell me, am I the only person that opens one before Christmas Day? You're allowed a Christmas Eve one.
I think that's... I've done that before.
You did that?
Yeah, I've done that before. Yeah. John, are you into opening presents? You've got two kids. Do you allow them to open something on Christmas Eve?
No, they managed to... This is... See, traditions, like, honestly, like, my children are now 13, and the one's going on 16, right? And they've got Christmas Eve box. Now, this is a concept which has been in one of these Americanized ideas.
No, John, you've not and fallen for that shite.
Listen, I don't fall for that shite. My wife falls for that shite. And then they managed to blag it. They're like, ah, we'll just open it up now, won't we? So they got their Christmas Eve box last night. I mean, they're 13.
Which one you got the Christmas... On the 21st?
Aye, they blagged it last night. So there you go. They get a Christmas
John,
Eve box.
John, what sort of household
but it's
are you
Christmas
running here?
Eve.
I know. They absolutely duped my wife and me last night. Like, we just opened the Christmas Eve box now and they get their pajamas.
And you allowed them to do that?
Aye.
Man, that's terrible parents.
Terrible parents.
But I did get married on the 23rd of December as well.
Cheaper rates. I know people who are going to a wedding on Saturday in between Christmas and New Year.
Was it cheaper rates, is it?
Oh, yeah, of course it is. December. It's cheaper getting married in the winter. That's why Mark Wilson got married in November. And on a Sunday.
Exactly. A Sunday.
No, totally. Aye, of course it's cheaper. Yes. Yeah,
I get married on the 23rd and I seen my wife up until, don't even think we got the first dance, and I never seen her again to the 7th of January.
Right, okay.
So that was it.
Was that wedding number two, Daz?
Number two. Yeah, that's an R2 story. to be fair, she didn't have her earrings on.
No.
But I never seen her till the 7th.
Right, okay. So just a wee bit, some time apart, you know. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. God.
Sorry, I've got a bit of sore throat, but I don't think you're supposed to do it in your actual wedding.
No.
Maybe wait till 2 or 3 days later, maybe a wee disagreement, getting to know each other, living with each other as a married couple. You've been there yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I didn't even get the first dance and... Oof, away she went. I spent my night with my best man, John McStay, ex-footballer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was at his 60th on Saturday night. Great, great night it was. And me and him just rattled into the champagne.
Well, listen, as long as you had a good night.
That was a good night.
I was going to say all's well, ends well, but clearly
it didn't.
By the way, thank you very much to Gabs, who was sat in the hot seat last week. Did an absolutely fantastic job. So well done to Gabs. Gabs will be back in the future when I inevitably take a holiday. It was a few people concerned for my welfare last week. I literally just had a day off.
Did
that's
you?
What it was.
Yeah, a full day, even from
from everyone. I was Neil McGarry. I didn't do anything. I was meant to be going away somewhere because... Uh-huh. I could have been at the rugby with you last Saturday night, but I was meant to be going away somewhere. It didn't happen, and I had the Monday off, and I was like, "Listen, I'm just going to take the Monday off anyway." So I just had a day.
Did I tell you my rugby one?
No.
Ah, only me, right? So I'm leaving straight from here.
Yeah.
Now remember, I've been on the Radio Clyde. I've been on the show for about coming up to about 15 years or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dumbarton Road, not like the back of my hand. You get along to Dumbarton Road, turn left, Scotstoun, rugby ground, floodlight, it's the easiest thing in the world, right?
Yeah.
So I leave the studio and I get to the garage just halfway down Dumbarton Road.
Mm-hmm.
And for some crazy reason in my head, I thought, I'll take a left and then take a right and it runs parallel.
Yeah.
And it'll take me right into Scotstoun.
Yeah.
Easy, right? I ends up in a sort of housing scheme, right? I'm now lost. So there's a woman, this is true, woman standing, she's sort of walking up, and I pulls my car over and I says, excuse me, I says, can you do me a wee favour? I says, I'm looking for Scots and the rugby, I'm going to rugby. She went, oh, you're miles away. And I went, what? She went, oh, you're miles away. I says, all right, okay. So we're trying to get the sat-nav, and for some reason, I can't get my phone to connect to my sat-nav.
It's because you're in your 60s, that's the reason.
100%. She then jumps in the car, right? She went, I'll take you. So I've now got, and her name's Carol, right?
Right, okay. Hello, Carol.
Yeah, I've now got Carol in the car, and we're driving along, mate, I'm now a mile and a bit, right?
Okay.
And I'm thinking, I need to take her back home. How's she going to get home? Right? So I says, Carol, I says, we're over a mile and a half now. She went, ah, it's just a wee bit more, Gordon Dodge, a wee bit more. I introduced myself. It's a wee bit far, because I had to. I was starting to panic.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I went, she went, no, it's just a wee bit down here, take a left. She takes me right into the car park, parks my car, she jumps out, and she went, have a lovely night, see you later. And I went, how are you getting home? She went, I'll just walk.
So you basically you picked up a woman off the street.
Yeah.
You drove her to a car park.
Yeah.
And then you dumped her.
I dumped her, yeah.
Went in at the rugby and you've never heard from Carol again.
I've never seen her, never heard from her.
Right, okay. Did she know who you were?
She eventually found out, because she asked me what I was doing, blah, right, blah, okay. blah. And then she said her son worked, I think he worked with the Herald, but he was covering the rugby that night, but it was more into football.
Right, okay.
And then the football conversation come up and she was blaring. She went, what were you doing today? I says, well, I'm on Shrewsbury scoreboard. And she went, oh, you Gordon DL.
Yeah.
And she went, oh yeah, I've heard of you and stuff like that. Lovely, lovely woman.
Right, well, John, I think we need to get Carol either on Super Scoreboard or on the podcast to verify this story, because, you know, let's put a shout out to Carol.
Carol.
If you want to get in touch, you know, and a very seasonal name as well. So listen, Carol, get in touch. You can tweet us at Big Football Scott. You can leave a comment on YouTube as well. Let's find Carol and we can reunite.
It's quite easy because our boy works with, he was working for the Herald that night, but he also works with, is it Transmarket or something?
Transfer Market.
That could be that.
All right, we're getting, the staggering bit about this story is that Gordon DL has a sat-nav in his car, and you know, the art of stopping someone and asking for directions, it's a lost art these days, and it is. is still on the case for it.
It's good that you brought that tradition back, actually. You know, that's good. You know, it's all about kindness at this time of year, isn't it, Gordon?
I'm not really good at working
sat-navs
and stuff like that. Yeah, I've got a car that I had to get into the garage, right? And ask one of the technician boys the best way to drive my car.
Right.
Because obviously I've got a hybrid, right?
Okay.
And you know what like it is. You've got different, you know, standard, eco, you've got...
Yeah. Right. Eco, I think.
Eco, yeah, right. Yeah. Okay, we're going, okay.
Well, right. Echo's something different.
Echo. So I had no
idea... drive your car.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm honestly, so I just put into D now, away I go, and if Carol's out there, what's got to be embarrassing is, right, we're going to find this lady and a better name's not Carol. But that, I'm sure it is Carol.
Okay, so if... Right, okay. Well, if your name might be Carol, or you were in a car with Gordon DL a week past Saturday...
In a car park
at Scotstoun, please do get in touch. Right, lots of chat about dipping chips and McFlurries. The McDonald's fries and McFlurry. People used to do it with the McDonald's milkshakes. That's from Craig McD. Matt Blue saying chips and McDonald's milkshake is better. My wife dips McDonald's chips in her McFlurry all the time, but the chips have to be hot. See, it's the salty and it's the sweet. That's what you're getting there.
Is it your Gabs that brought this
up? It was Gabs.
Yeah. You don't. Tell me you don't.
I don't.
A man of your standard
I don't. It's not something that I do, but I do believe it is a thing. And it's because the chips are salty and you've got the sweet, and that's how it works. Caffer's saying chips and milkshakes at McDonald's are better. As a coach driver, Gabs needs to sort his guts out. Poor driver needs to clean out that toilet and empty it.
Mate.
My mate messaged me and he was like, why 60% of this podcast about Gabs' bowel movements?
He'll be
19 shits across a weekend. That's staggering.
That was a quiet weekend. You slept for half of that.
Queery says, get behind the GJ Ross shout for top bakery, apart from the Butleys, but McDonald's fries and McFlurry to dip into, that's an international war crime. There was also lots of chat about nationality, because Mr. C says, Big Gabs is Scottish if he wants to be Scottish, or
no,
bae.
No.
Battering, man. He's wanny us either way.
He's no. It's the same as John's English boy. How's he doing?
By the way,
Right. Let's just stop this now.
English Sunday, would you get him an England top? He's Christmas Eve hamper.
I mean, the thing is, did you see yesterday? Darren Fletcher's boy came on for Manchester United.
Now he's the Jack.
He's the boy that came on, the English one,
and Tyler is the Scottish one.
Yeah, so they're brothers, but one plays with England and one plays with Scotland. And obviously, your dad is Darren Fletcher,
captain of Scotland. It blows my mind.
I'd disown him. Well, I genuinely.
Would you?
Yes,
but if he's born in England, so what? But he's John's boy's English.
Yeah, but his dad's Scottish.
Doesn't matter.
His dad was a Scotland captain.
Yeah,
over 80 caps.
Doesn't matter. If you're born in England, you want to play with your country you were born in. Do you know it?
Storm Hunter, I was born in Scotland but lived in Canada for 20 years now, and I'm Scottish.
Yeah. What's up with that? He was born here.
Okay. Callum Lane, Lang. I'm with the new guy. I was born in Plymouth but moved to Scotland when I was 6 months old. I've never said I was English, and I was devastated when I found out I was born in England. I have always been Scottish.
No,
he's English.
Right. He's totally English.
Right. Richard Hamilton, can I say if we base Scottishness on being born in Scotland, we have to disown Scott McTominay, Kieran Tierney, Lyndon Dykes, Shea Adams, Max Johnson, all born abroad or not in Scotland?
Yeah, well, they've used the rules to suit themselves in, because that's football. But if you're born in a country, mate, that's where you're from. Doesn't matter if you stayed half an hour in it. If you're born in England like John's boy, you're English.
The new head of immigration for the UK government, Gordon DL.
Stamp your passport.
Bobby Supper says, regarding the discussion about using the wrong spray can, my dad once went into a room to steal some deodorant and couldn't work out why mine felt so strange compared to his. Turns out he'd grab a can of 4-dash Pearl Black paint when I'd been using it to touch up the bumper of my car. Took him weeks to get it off. David Wilson says, Gabs and Andrew fight to the death, Kirk and Spock style, for the right to be Gordon Duncan's natural successor on Super Scoreboard. Right, okay, in terms of stories from the last week, Celtic lost their fourth game in a row for the first time since 1978. Obviously, they bounced back yesterday. We'll get to that in a second. And more trouble at Hamilton. Got deducted 9 points after failing to gain an SFA bronze licence, and the players rumoured to be paid by a payday loans company as well. Shambles at Hamilton.
Yeah, it's poor, isn't it? It's a shambles for everyone concerned. Not just the players, people behind the scenes, the supporters. The supporters can't even go to Hamilton.
They're at Broadwood.
Team. Exactly.
It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace what's happened. And I genuinely, like, I've got no, sorry, dog in the race with Hamilton, but they're just a team who have probably in the last 20 years had one of the most successful periods of their history in terms of being in the top flight. You know, did really well under Billy Reid and then Alex Neil and stuff as well.
Look at the players that produced.
The amount of players that have come through Hamilton's youth academy has been incredible.
Yeah.
So I really, really hope that they can sort it out, because I hate to see teams in trouble like that. I said the same when it was Inverness last season as well. So all the best to Hamilton. Hopefully something good can come out of it after a very, very dark couple of years for them. Right, let's get on to the weekend's football then, and we'll start with yesterday. It was the game of the weekend, I would say. Hearts versus Rangers at Tynecastle. It ended Hearts 2, Rangers 1. I was just saying before we came on there, you know, I thought Rangers started the game really, really well, really strongly, looked the better team. Hearts just couldn't get going at all. And then, about half an hour in, Hearts started to get to grips with the game. They got their goal, they get their second goal, and Rangers just disintegrated. Rangers looked like they were never going to get back into this game.
No. And listen, you've got to credit Hearts. You know, that's a double over Celtic Rangers, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, they'll beat them twice.
First time in 40 years a team's done that.
Is it?
Beat Celtic and Rangers 4 consecutive games.
Yeah. And look, they must fancy their chances. I know that Celtic got an important result yesterday. But I think they've cleared the sale of Rangers. I think Rangers to pull that back would be a big ask.
Because there's a lot of chat. Had Rangers won yesterday, they would have been right back in with a show. But you think that's right, they're done.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think they're going to pull that back. But interesting to see, excuse me, what the transfer window will come for Rangers, what they're going to bring in. You can't really. Can't look at yesterday's game, goalkeeper.
Goalkeeper.
I've said it every Monday in this show. The goalkeeper standard in our game just now is ridiculous.
Remember a couple of years ago when they were saying Jack Butland was worth 15 million, 20 million? I mean, Jack Butland, I think, right, he's made some good saves, but Jack Butland has howlers in him. He has howlers in him, and he's made a number of howlers over the past couple of years.
Yeah, but to be fair, give him a bit of credit. I think Jack Butland is a good goalkeeper, But I think you're right. I think there's always a one like yesterday in him. I think he'll give you a goal.
I also think, like, you know, the so-called bigger players at Rangers, Raskan's a myth. I can't remember the last time I saw Raskan have a decent game. You know,
I'll tell you where it was.
He's a Belgian internationalist, mm-hmm. and Cammy Devlin was the best player on that pitch by a mile yesterday.
Cammy Devlin has really changed my opinion of him, right? I thought Cammy Devlin was just a average little player that ran about, slid into a couple of tackles, got himself booted, got himself caught up in the game. He has been brilliant. Mm-hmm. Absolutely brilliant.
He's been the player of the season so far.
Do you know about the last last good game Raskin had was the game against Hibs after Russell Martin got sacked, brought him back.
Okay, yeah,
at Ibrox.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
He was excellent in that game. He's a good player, but I think you're right. Doesn't do enough for me. Does not do enough for me. I think he thinks he's better than what he is.
See if you look at Hearts midfield yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I compare it to Rangers midfield. Diamandé got hooked at half time. Diamandé was lucky not to be booked, actually, right on the break.
Diamandé's average.
And this is what I mean. I think these players are built up and built up by some people and some fans. I'm yet to see it. Mm-hmm. And then you've got players who just blatantly are not good enough, like Max Aarons. I mean, my God. Like, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know how he's become a professional football player.
Right. Go and study this boy, right? I don't know if it's confidence or what it is about him. Since day one, he's walked into Ibrox. And
he's playing, though.
Right, and he plays. He never puts the ball forward.
It's unbelievable.
He never plays forward passes. His first instinct is, the minute he gets it, back the way, safety, back the way. He's nowhere near.
You're not telling me. So, like, for example, you know, Robbie Fraser, who was on loan at Livingston last season, he's now with Dunfermline. Mm-hmm. He's been one of Dunfermline's best players this season. He's had a couple of injuries, though. I refuse to believe that he's not as good a fullback as either Magoma or Max Aarons. Yeah. I refuse to believe that.
Yeah.
And they've taken these boys on loan from Bournemouth and whatever other teams, and they're nowhere near good enough.
We're talking your boy
Fernandez is obviously a big threat at set pieces going forward,
yeah.
But he can't defend.
Yep.
So what's the point? Obviously, Chermiti ends up getting a goal right at the end. It didn't matter. He looks, I mean, £8 million. My God. Rangers are in serious, serious bother. That is the worst Rangers team. You know, and I'm even thinking of the teams that were when they were in, you know, League Two and League One in the Championship, and when they finished second or third or whatever it was in the Championship. Like, this Rangers team is so bad. Pound for pound, that's the worst Rangers team I've seen. Pound for pound.
But if they'd have won yesterday, you'd be thinking they're right in a title race.
But bar the first 25 minutes, I don't think they were ever close.
No.
I think Hearts comfortably saw out the game. Now, Hearts, I saw, obviously, Chris Boyd saying after the game he makes them favourites for the title now.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I'm not 100% there yet, right? By the way, they've got a great opportunity because...
Derek McInnes says they're only going to get better. He thinks they're going to get better as the season goes on. Now, if they're going to get better as the season goes on, then they are going to win the league because they look incredibly strong just now. Also, I saw Derek McInnes getting a wee bit sort of irked by people saying, oh, well, Hearts are the only top because, you know, Celtic are a shambles and Rangers are a shambles. But actually, when you look at their points total, it's kind of what teams at the top of the league at this stage have. So, like, I think that's a wee bit unfair. However, we mentioned the January transfer window. Massive for Hearts as well. I mean, massive for Rangers. I mean, Rangers can forget it. They need to look at next season already. But Hearts, if they can strengthen, bring in an extra two or three players, and that's the thing.
Where do you think they need to strengthen?
Well, this is... I'm not convinced about the goalie. I know he's been all right. They're not going to bring in another goalie, right, though. I'm not convinced by
defensively,
him.
They look good.
But that's the thing. Yesterday, obviously, they were missing two of their... Halkett was out and Harry Milne was out. Who's been fantastic. But when you can bring in the likes of Stephen Kingsley, you know, that's...
They've got a good squad.
I do think if Shankland was to get injured or suspended or something, that's a problem. But then everybody's looking for a striker.
Right.
I think Braga looks fantastic. Him and Braga play very well together.
Yeah.
And, you know, every time I see Shanklin now, and he took his goal really well. Yeah, it was a big mistake by the goalkeeper, but, you know, like, still got his shot away nice and early. Thought it was good. I think, I do think, what were all the previous Hearts managers fanning about with Shanklin?
Unbelievable.
Playing him, like, deep. Like,
number 10.
Play Shanklin up front.
Yeah.
He's
a goal scorer.
He's a goal scorer. He's the top goal scorer in the league. Nine goals.
Don't get me wrong, right? See, he defended those managers. I totally agree with you. I thought it was the wrong decision. But Shanklin can play as a 10, right? But he's a better goal scorer than he is
exactly.
a 10.
And what do you want people who can score goals?
Yeah.
Goals
yeah.
change matches.
Yeah. So and everybody's crying out for a centre forward.
Yeah.
Right? So Derek McInnes, no brainer. You're playing as a nine. Go up there and play. Do your work in the box. Go and score goals. He'll score you goals.
And that's the thing as well. Beningame came on yesterday, who mm-hmm. was obviously had a cracking season so far, but he's been out injured for the last few weeks. Came on. More strength and depth. I think just maybe a couple of more players just in case, I think. Yeah. I think it helps.
Do you know who's been excellent for him? Finlay.
Mm-hmm. Finlay's been super. I mean, what a header.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant
but
header.
There's another thing, right? The thing that baffled me, everybody will tell you, they've got a 2v1 at a corner. Something needs to go out and help.
Mm-hmm.
It's too easy.
But
it is a great header.
I was thinking about Hearts as well yesterday. Obviously, Gordon's no playing. But I do think they've got Scottish players in key positions as well. They've got a nice Scottish sort of flavour to the team. Yeah, they've got lots of like other players for other countries as well, but I think it's important. I think you need to have players in that team who know what the league's about,
yeah.
who have been around the block a wee bit. Stuart Finlay's a perfect example. Obviously, went over to the MLS, was at Kilmarnock before that as well. And I think I like what Derek McInnes is doing.
But do you not think if you look at it, okay, you're a wee bit not 100% keen the goalkeeper. I think goalkeeper's okay. But if you look at all the way down the pitch, his centre half is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
His two centre halves, when they play together, they're very good. Devlin has probably having the season of his life.
Yeah.
And they've got two guys up top that can score goals.
Yeah.
And cause you a problem. And all he does is he just fits nice players in round about it. And it's worked absolutely brilliant for him.
So you're not making Hearts favourites for the title yet?
Not yet. Not yet. But they're ticking off the games. I think January will be interesting to see who they bring in, because you'll look at Celtic and you'll look at Rangers, certainly going to bring in players.
Here's a stat for you.
Right.
I can't remember who I saw it on Twitter yesterday, so apologies, I can't give you credit, I can't remember, but Hearts now have more points right now than they did by the time the split came last season.
So, is that right?
Yeah.
That's incredible. So
but they got John 41 points, is it? I think they've got 41 points.
Yeah, I'm just
something like that.
It's in the
thing. Totally. Yeah, it's in front of me. Yeah, they've got 41 points, which is more points than they had in the game immediately before the split last season, which is incredible.
Yeah.
So the turnaround at Hearts as well has been unbelievable.
Look, they've recruited well. They've brought in you talk about players, Scottish players knowing the league. They've got a manager that knows the league.
Aye.
So they recruited well and they are flying high just now, and they're getting into games against Rangers and Celtic now believing that they're going to beat them, and they've showed that because they've beat them four times, Celtic twice, Rangers twice. So they're not any, you know, they're not going and thinking, oh, a point here today, or, you know, if we sit in tight we'll park the bus. They're going after Celtic and they're going after Rangers, and it's working for them.
Edinburgh Derby is the lunchtime kickoff next Saturday, and Rangers are at home in Motherwell, which is going to be a tough game because obviously Motherwell picked up 3 points for the weekend. We'll get to that very, very shortly as well. However, there was another game yesterday. It finished Celtic 3, Aberdeen 1. Doesn't tell the full story there. I think, you know, first
sending
half...
Sending off.
Yeah.
What's the goalkeeper doing?
Well, we'll get to that in terms of the sending off, but... You know, Celtic could have been 3 or 4 up at half-time, let's be honest here. They were dominant in that first half. And then the second half, obviously Aberdeen are playing with 10 men. The first time they get up the pitch, they score. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, at that point, you're thinking, if you're Wilfred Nancy, you're thinking, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Why are we missing all these chances? We could be home and hosed. And let's be honest, I think had Aberdeen held on, we'd be sitting here today discussing Celtic's new manager.
Oh, 100%.
I think he would have been out.
Oh, 100%. I agree with that. They've got a knack of this, haven't they? You look at, since he's come into the building, Hearts, first game, I thought they got off to a real good start.
Mm-hmm.
Dundee United,
yep,
right good start as well. Yesterday, right good start. Even the cup final against St Mirren, they dominated most of the game in the first half. But I don't know what happens at half-time. Because they come out and they're completely, they look a completely different team.
It's like they're getting a message at half time and they don't know their heads. Yeah.
It's incredible, isn't it? Teams just tweak one or two wee things. And even their goal they gave away against Aberdeen is just a ball over the top, isn't it? It's not even.
They leave themselves so exposed. Like, so exposed all the time.
Yeah. But let's be honest, he needed that result.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
That's a big one for him.
So that'll buy him. That'll buy him to the January transfer window.
Yeah, he's got Livy. Is it Livy? Livy Motherwell.
It's Livy Motherwell then Rangers.
Yeah. Well, no disrespect. I hope Big Mar's not listening, but you would think they will take care of Livy. No problem. Motherwell Rangers are a different one.
It is a different beast.
Can I just say, I think, see the way Celtic played yesterday. I actually think if he gets the right players in January, they might, you know,
well,
put in a challenge, because I was really impressed by the way they played and they knocked the ball about and the amount of chances, like you say, they created. 4.2 XG is pretty decent. And I think if he gets the right players in, they might actually hang about Hearts.
No, I think that's probably where you're coming from, and it's kind of where I'm coming from as well. I think if they can beat Livingston and they can maybe 4 points off Motherwell and Rangers, all of a sudden the narrative's changed a wee bit.
Yeah.
And they've got a game in hand over Hearts as well. If they win that, they'll be only 3 points behind, which is nothing. And then if they get to January and they sign correctly, Celtic will win the league.
Yeah. I think he's a bit unfortunate, because I think he's got players in the building the now that could play that formation, right? But they're injured.
Yeah.
Right. Carter Vickers in at the centre back would really add to them. Johnson down the right hand side as well. It could maybe free up Tierney to go and play left. Mm-hmm. So they've got that natural players that they could probably, but unfortunately they're injured. And they're
isn't that part of the frustration as well, where you're like, well, why are you playing like that then if you don't have the players to play it?
Yeah, but obviously that's his style, and he's, look, he's making strong decisions. The one thing he's got to do for me is get to know your players. You can't play Maeda as a number 10. He played him in the cup final as a number 10. You can't play him there. You look at Tannadice, for instance, when he played left in the first half. He absolutely ran riot down that side. Ball over the top, bags of pace. Dundee United were trying to squeeze up and play a high line, and Maeda's killing them.
This is what I think. I think if Celtic can find someone who can put the ball in the back of the net, who's clinical, who can score goals, who can take the chances that are creating, Celtic will win the league. I think that's
why I said I don't make Hearts favourites. And plus the fact is, it's getting into January, February, March, and it's getting nearer that winning line. These players have never really been in that position.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And you have a look at their wee run there. They had a wee run about six games. They weren't really winning games, but they held their position.
Here's one for you. Kyogo, out of favour at Birmingham.
Yeah, we've heard that on the show. A lot of Celtic fans maybe looking at that. It wouldn't be a bad idea, because he knows the club, he knows what playing with Celtic's all about. He's a good enough goal scorer. He'll get you goals, he'll work hard. Yeah, I would.
I just think that, like, if I'm Hearts, obviously, you're delighted. You're like an amazing start to the season. And I think Hearts are minimum going to finish second. I think Hearts are minimum second.
You think they're splitting Celtic and Rangers?
100%.
Right.
I can't see.
So you're going Celtic, Hearts and Rangers?
I don't know. I think Motherwell. But to be honest, they're in my shout as well. Because again, if Motherwell can get a goal scorer, somebody to put the ball in the back of the net, then Motherwell are not going to be far off the top three as well.
But if you look at your sheet there, Motherwell's right up there with goals.
Exactly.
So they're getting goals from all over.
They are, but I do think that if they just hit somebody,
a number nine, like a Shankland.
Like a Shankland, or, you know, someday that ilk, I think that Motherwell will not be. And listen, Motherwell have got a wee bit of money to spend after the Lennon Miller transfer in the summer. So listen, they'll be able to buy somebody if they can identify the right person. But I think if Celtic recruit well in January, and that's the key. I think that's the key. Yeah. And then almost it doesn't matter if Hearts recruit well. I think Celtic have got more in the bank.
Yeah.
And I think, as you say, if Carter Vickers is back, if Johnson's back, I don't know when Jota's due back. I think he may be.
I don't think Carter Vickers and Johnson will be back for the back this season. I don't even think.
I'm not entirely sure. But anyway, I do think that if Celtic can get a goal scorer, that's bad news for Hearts.
Yeah.
That's bad because they are creating a lot of chances. Mm-hmm. And in games, they could be 2, 3, 4 goals up.
But on the flip side to that, Celtic, with the system that they're playing, will leave you chances.
Of course they will, yeah.
You score goals against Celtic. So they have to get someone in that's going to... The manager reminds me a little bit about when Kevin Keegan was at Newcastle. He just played all attacking, but just loved going in attacking. Sometimes he would win 5-4 or 4-3. It was always exciting games, but you always could score against them. And I think Celtic have got that just now with the way they're playing at 3, because they're leaving man for man at times.
Yeah.
And I'm a great believer that if you play with Celtic, you should be able to go man for man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everybody turns around and, get a fullback in, or get a player in beside you, make it a 2v1. If you're playing with Celtic in domestic league, you should be able to defend 1v1s.
Talking to Kenny Miller at the weekend, who was Ronnie Dyler's assistant manager at Atlanta. And he was saying that they played against Wilfred Nancy's team, Columbus Crew, a couple of times.
5-0.
And he says they were 5-0 down at half-time. Yeah. Or sorry, they were 5-0 down and they got a penalty just before half-time, made it 5-1. And then they scored right after half-time in the second half. And he was like, had the game gone on for another 5 minutes, we'd have won the game. Yeah,
he told the story on Saturday as well. It's incredible. I don't know what it is with this manager. I think the first 45, everybody's brilliant. And
I mean, Kenny was like, what are we? Like, this team are absolutely destroying us here. Like, yeah. we can't get near them. And then
second
all of a
half are a different side.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think whatever happens, I think this is bottom to the January transfer window, almost really, unless they get beat from Livy. In which case, they'll all be back on again.
Yeah. But he's got that, hasn't he? Just now, I feel for him. Is that one result away from ever being negative again?
Yeah, like after the game on Wednesday at Tannadice, I felt sorry for him. Like, yeah. I did feel sorry. Now, listen, he's a highly paid individual. He's a big boy. I'm sure he can handle it. But I did feel a wee bit sorry for him. And it's that way where I'd like... You know, it's completely split. I know a couple of Celtic fans who were like, nah, let's just cut our losses, get them out. There's no point. Just, you know, get it done. And then there's other people saying, well, you can't sack someone after 5 matches. Yeah. That's mental. And not even give them the chance to implement his style.
I've been in those shoes at a sort of a lower club. And it doesn't matter if it's 1,000, 10,000, 50, it doesn't matter, 100 people. It's the worst feeling as a football manager you ever get, when people are basically telling you where to go, they're singing for another manager.
Mm-hmm.
It's, as you say, yeah, he can puff out the chest and walk down there, but he would have been hurting.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. And it's only human level, but he's got to win games. He's got to win games of football.
For people who are not familiar with that story, Gordon Dalziel took over at Raith Rovers, and after 3 matches, they were wanting Claude Anelka back. So,
so was that.
Right, let's move on to the games on Saturday then. And St Mirren followed up their cup win last week with a 1-0 win against Livingston. Livingston still have not won since the 9th of August in the Premiership, and it was a comfortable win in the end. We'll get to the VAR decision in a second, which was obviously a shambles. But yeah, it was important, I think, for St Mirren. That's them won the League Cup, which is absolutely fantastic. The weekly celebrations, they had a big parade yesterday in Paisley, which was fantastic. But they need to sort the league form out and make sure they're back in that top six, which I think they will be.
Yeah, I think.
Or there or thereabouts, anyway.
Good enough players. And the one thing about him, he always recruits very well to suit his team, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And he's missing some important players. Mark O'Hara and people like that's been missing. Their captain. So, yeah, I think St Mirren will be okay. They'll climb that league. It was important they got a result, because they went into that game on Saturday, everybody was expecting them to beat Livingston because of the way Livingston are going about their business. Not one, as you quite rightly said, August the 9th. But the only plus you can say about Livingston is they're still not...
They're only 4 points away for safety.
Exactly. It's, and they've not won again since August the 9th. It's incredible, our league. So that's the only positive you can take. But unfortunately, you play Celtic in the next game.
Yeah.
You're not going to see you get much there. So...
Yeah, St Mirren are at home to Kilmarnock, which looks like a huge game. But if St Mirren can win, and then they've got a game in hand, they'd only be 1 or 2 points off the top six, yeah, which will be the aim.
That'll change. There's a lot of teams there.
I do think now you're looking at the table, it's three, you know, Permany, two from three, Dundee, Kilmarnock and Livingston at the bottom of the table. Because I think St Mirren will be fine. Dundee United are obviously going to be fine. Unfortunately, I think Falkirk are going to be fine as well. Aberdeen...
I don't know about that. Good result of the weekend.
I think it would take a monumental cock up from Falkirk. You did this last year, Stephen. I think it would be a collapse of biblical proportions.
Like Dunfermline are doing just now. Yeah.
Who've they got? Next?
Falkirk played Dundee on Saturday at Dens, which is a blockbuster.
If we get 3 points there, I might be on board with saying we could be safe.
I think Falkirk are safe. I think there's no chance that Falkirk are getting relegated.
I see what you're doing here, Stephen.
Are you still a bit concerned, John?
I think that you've got to be concerned, right? Because what you've got to look in is that Livingston are going to go and spend big in January. Dundee have got the money there. Uh-huh. Kilmarnock have got the money there. We've got the lowest budget in the league. So we're going to struggle to bring in bodies.
How do you know that?
What do you mean, how do I know
he's
that, Stephen?
How do you know he's got the lowest budget?
We have the lowest budget in the league. It is a fact. We have the lowest budget in the league.
How have you seen all the other budgets?
Right, come on. Like, Livingston have got a millionaire back and a multi-millionaire in the...
They've splashed out on Robbie Muirhead?
You just look what's going to happen. You look what happens in January. We'll wait and see.
Okay, right.
But, like, Kilmarnock backed by Billy Bowie. Obviously, Dundee have got their American owners and they've got the connection with Burnley. Like, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, but...
I'm with John. I've still got a little bit... They need... Another few wins to get this.
I think at this stage, if you look at where Falkirk are, I think they're safe. I genuinely, because it's going to be, you need one or two wins. And you're safe, which you're going to get between now and the end of the season. As I say, it would be a monumental collapse. Jesus. If you got sucked into anything at the bottom now, like it would be really, you'd have to be questioning John McGlynn, actually, I think, if you ended up getting sucked into the relegation zone now, to be honest. But obviously beating another quite fortunate win against Kilmarnock on Saturday.
No fortune about it.
It seems to be the good fortune just continues when it's Falkirk. It's never ending. It's a never ending
win. There was no fortune about Kilmarnock. To be fair, they'll be hard done by that they weren't up at in the first half.
Exactly, yes.
To be fair, it was their own fault because Scott Bain didn't have a save to make and they just kept blasting stuff over the bar. And then big Brian Graham, shout to Finn Yeats, he came off the bench, totally changed the game. And Brian Graham doing Brian Graham things and scoring from 5 yards. Mm. So happy days.
Goalkeeper, man.
Goalkeepers are terrible.
Goalkeeper couldn't do anything.
Yeah,
like that.
See, be fair. It was a good goal for Big Brian. You know, what is he,
38? Aye, 38.
Still going to Premier League.
He covered every blade of plastic.
That was amazing. Halfway through that sentence there, I wonder where you were going with it. Falkirk managing to squeak past Kilmarnock. I'm rubber stamping it. I think Falkirk are safe now. There's no chance that they're going to get involved in any relegation draw. So it would be a monumental collapse if they managed to. Elsewhere, Motherwell win against Dundee. It was a goal to nil, but it was a comfortable victory, yeah. I think, for Motherwell. Far better than Dundee. Dundee, very negative, I thought, throughout the game. They failed to score in 9 of their 18 matches.
Is that right?
Which is obviously an issue.
And Simon Murray there...
Was on the bench. Yeah. Dundee, along with St Mirren, are the lowest scorers in the Premiership. And they've played 2 games more than St Mirren.
Yeah, Dundee are in trouble.
They play Falkirk on Saturday. If Falkirk go up there and win, mm-hmm. which I would make Falkirk heavy, heavy favourites to do so, I think Dundee are. I think Stephen Presley's in big trouble as well, to be honest with you.
But they're a team that I would probably fancy Falkirk to go and turn them over. But I wouldn't be surprised if they put in a good performance. They've got it in them, mm-hmm. right? But they just don't do it consistently. And Motherwell, that's the reason they're well down the league.
Motherwell, they've played a game more than Celtic, but they've played the same games as Hearts. They're 11 points behind Hearts. So I don't think we're talking Motherwell title contenders, but we're talking Motherwell certainly finishing third contenders.
Yeah, yeah. I think Motherwell best football team in the league. By a country mile. I think the style of football is brilliant. Everybody thinks it's a passing. They can go long. I've seen that before. Balls over the top. They've just got... They've got a squad of players that everybody buys into the manager's methods of playing. Mm-hmm. You look at the amount of changes this guy makes as well. Okay, he didn't make a lot at the weekend, but lately he's made seven changes, five changes, and this is after getting a win.
Yeah.
So you're thinking to yourself, hold on a minute here. You never know if you're going to be playing. And even if you're, a striker and you score a goal, you're thinking, right, that's me cemented my place for next week. Doesn't happen. He changes it about. He just goes game to game.
And I tell you what, terrific. They're keeping clean sheets. They're keeping it tight at the back as well.
Six in a row, is it?
Yep.
Six in a row. Absolutely brilliant. And
first team since 2018 to keep six clean sheets in a row outside Celtic and Rangers.
And no superstars in that team. No superstars. Just a team of good, honest pros that go out there. The manager sets them up brilliantly. And they play great, great football.
I do think that if Motherwell can get a striker in who can score goals... Motherwell will finish third ahead of Rangers.
Ooh,
and it's Rangers Motherwell this Saturday.
At Fir Park. Oh, it's Ibrox. Look, I think for the first time in a long while, as a Motherwell fan going along to Ibrox, you will not be fearing that game. So one thing...
But that's the thing. Actually, Rangers away form, they were unbeaten until yesterday in 2025 in the league, away from home. It's their home form that's been honking.
Yeah. And Motherwell will fancy that. They'll fancy that. I think that'll be a good game.
Yeah.
I really do. I think it'll be a good game.
Motherwell won the winners against Dundee. And on the other side of the city, it was Dundee United 1, Hibs 1. So, again, another draw for Hibs. Dundee United will be happy with their week, though. Obviously, a point... last Saturday, beating Celtic and then getting a point for Hibs. It was a tough wee run. Motherwell, Celtic and Hibs.
Yeah.
And they've managed to get 5 points for it. I think that's a good week for Dundee United.
Yeah, you take that. Maybe a bit disappointing because they took the lead against Hibs as well and they're at home.
Hibs are a decent side though. Hibs have got Hibs players like Boyle who can pop up.
Hibs are okay. I think you're right. I think Jim would have looked at their recent sort of performances and their run of games. I think you'd have been quite happy with that.
Yeah. Hibs are just, like, looking at their form, it's draw, loss, win, loss, loss, win. They just need to find some form of consistency.
Your last pound in Hibs,
no, you wouldn't. Yeah. And obviously, Rocky Bashiri's away at the African Cup of Nations now as well, who will be a miss for them at the back. Again, Hibs can go again in January and bring players in, though. That's the thing. Hibs do have a bit of cash.
Yeah. Yeah. And he will. There's no doubt about it. And as you say, he's got guys that. I think you're always safe if you've got guys that'll pop you a few goals. Boyle can get you goals. Bowie can get you goals. So they've got one or two real good players. Midley Park as well. Hibs will be... They'll be looking for a top six finish, won't they?
Yeah, absolutely. As will Dundee United as well. Right, let's drop down into the Championship then. Probably performance of the weekend in the Championship. I mean, no offence to St Johnson, they're top of the league, you expect these things. But Queen's Park going to Airdrie and winning by 3-0. Cracking result for them, and it puts Airdrie back down into the relegation playoff. It does look like a wee sort of a league of three, or a league of two actually, for the relegation playoff, because Ross County are having an absolute shocker. But great result for Jim Duffy. 3-0, and manager obviously Queen's Park now against Airdrie. Elsewhere, Dunfermline were 3 down at half time against Ayr United. A couple of quick goals at the start of the second half, but couldn't get an equaliser, so it finished Dunfermline 2, Ayr United 3. So definitely a wobbly time for Dunfermline over the last 3 or 4 matches. We do have a lot of players out injured. I'm sure it'll turn around.
I'm not worried. You're making excuses.
I'm not making excuses.
You're just looking for the playoffs, aren't you?
Aye. Yeah, I think we'll get in the playoffs. By the way though, tell you what, Arbroath, what a season they're having. They're only 4 points behind Partick Thistle.
Well then.
Go up to Ross County, win by 2-0, and that's 3 wins on the spin for them. After, again, Arbroath had a wee bit of wobble as well. 3 wins back-to-back, and...
lot to be said for part-time football.
Well, this is the thing. Arbroath are in this position where they're the top part-time team in the country, and there's a lot of players now who are maybe... earning more money part-time with their job on the side, or not their full-time job, but doing this on the side, so they can get the best of the part-time players. They're actually in a good position, and that's what Dick Campbell did when he nearly got them promoted.
Yeah, they'll probably work harder than a full-time team anyway.
Of course.
I remember when Jimmy Nicol came into Raith Rovers and we won the league. Our first game was St Mirren at home, and we beat them 7-1, and we never looked back. And we never trained.
Mm-hmm.
We'd play on the Saturday, you'd Sunday, Monday off. An hour on the Tuesday, you'd Wednesday off. Thursday, crossing and finishing. Five or six on the Friday, back onto the park on the Saturday. And that was your training. Whereas if you're part-time, you'll probably be doing two or three nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be putting a lot of hours into, you know, try and make up for that gap between full-time and part-time. So it's certainly working for them. Yeah. They've been terrific this year.
Ross County, every single week, we say. That's four defeats in a row.
Who have they got next?
I'll need to double check, but I think Ross County are in serious danger of dropping into League One.
100%.
They're in serious danger now.
100%.
And they're spending so much money on that team. And
St Johnstone next.
A nice easy game against St Johnstone on Saturday.
At St Johnstone?
No, it's at Ross County, but...
But it doesn't matter, does it? Because they're stinking the pussy.
St Johnstone won 5-0 on Saturday. Josh McPake is absolutely flying. Listen... I said this a few weeks ago, Dunfermline drew with St Johnstone 2-2. I thought it was a great game of football, but I was like, St Johnstone are the best team in the league by a mile and will win the league. And I absolutely stand by that.
Are they far better than Mark's Partick?
Yes. Yes, they are.
Okay.
Yes, they are. And obviously, Thistle have had a wee bit of wobble recently. 0-0 at home against Raith Rovers on Saturday, but that's no wins in three for Thistle. And I just think St Johnstone are probably going to kick on again in January. They'll be able to bring a couple of players in.
Is McPake going to Hearts in January?
I don't think he will.
That'd be a big loss.
That would be a big loss. But I do think they'll get money for us. They'll get decent money for him. So they'll be able to bring someone else in. Yeah, I think St Johnstone are going to win the league. They're the best team. They've got a nice mix of experience. They've got good attacking players, are solid at the back, and a comfortable 5-0 win against Morton on Saturday. So Billy Davis in charge to the end of the season. Is that the chat?
No.
Oh right, okay.
I think they've got a shortlist at Morton now manager. So I think they'll be making an appointment quite quickly.
All right, okay. I thought he was in charge for the rest of the season.
No, not that I'm aware of. I thought it was a case of he's just, you know, in to give them a hand. And I think one of the academy managers is taking the team just now. Billy obviously will assist. But no, they're looking to get a manager in quickly.
Fair enough. Some big matches in the Championship on Saturday. Raith Rovers Dunfermline at Starks. Wee Glasgow Derby, Queen's Park versus Partick Thistle. Lots happening in the Championship as per usual. In League One, a great win for Peterhead. Peterhead were 2-1 to beat East Fife on Saturday at East Fife.
Right.
And they won by a 0-0. And I always thought, well, Peterhead finished above East Fife last season. Peterhead won the league, I'm pretty sure. So I had them on my coupon, so well done me. Hamilton beat Alloa by 0-0. Kelty Hearts are in big, big trouble at the bottom of the table. 5-2 they lost against Cove Rangers. That's four defeats in a row for Kelty, and they're now 4 points adrift of Cove. They also play Cove in the Scottish Cup in a couple of weeks' time at Kelty as well, so a wee sort of precursor for that. Queen of the South beat Montrose by 0-0. And Stenny beat league leaders Inverness by 0-0, and that closes the gap at the top to 3 points. Inverness on 33, Stenhousemuir on 30. Inverness do have a game in hand though, and Hamilton, despite the fact they've been ducked at about 15 million points, are still in 8th place and above Cove Rangers. God knows how that's happened. Finally, in League 2, tremendous win for Annan at East Kilbride. They won by 3-1. Stirling Albion went to Clyde and won by 2-1 as well, but an upset there after no wins in a very long time for Stirling Albion, and Clyde had been doing pretty well up until recently. So Clyde 1, Stirling Albion 2. 4-2, Edinburgh City 3. That means Edinburgh City are just 6 points away from safety now, into double figures. That's again despite the fact they were deducted a lot of points earlier on the season. Spartans go top of the shop after beating Elgin by 0-0. They're 3 points clear of East Kilbride, and it finished 1-1 between Stranraer and Dumbarton. Stranraer still in the playoffs, so in fourth place. Let's get to some refereeing decisions, shall we? La gente está muy loca. What the fuck? Right, nothing happening at Tannadice, at Rugby Park, and at Firth Park. All fairly quiet there. However, let's get to St Mirren. A Junga's goal chopped off for a foul on Finlayson.
Ridiculous.
One of the most baffling decisions I've ever seen in my life. And you know what will be happening now? Willie Collum, I'll be on the phone to Stephen Robinson saying, really sorry, we got that one wrong. I mean, it didn't matter in the end because yeah. they won anyway. However, how
many times did you watch it?
How's Andrew Dallas, A, saying you need to go and look at that, and B, the referees looked at that and went, oh, aye, that's a foul. If anything, I thought it was a foul on the St Mirren boy. Yeah. Like, the boy sort of cuts him off.
I don't know.
I think it's a shocking decision.
They've had a bad day there, haven't they? Yeah. I watched it. I even watched it this morning before I come in to the studio, and I'm looking, thinking, how do they act? What is it they're actually seeing in this?
Yeah.
To chop this goal off.
Absolutely. Poor decision. Staggering.
I'm all for referees. I'm all for sticking up for them, but that was a poor decision.
Definitely the worst of the weekend. Celtic Aberdeen, Lobban got red carded, obviously, stepping across Maeda as last man. Thoughts?
Red card.
Straightforward?
Yeah. He'll never catch Maeda.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The goalkeeper doesn't help him, does he? thanks very much for that. But right decision for me, red card. So I don't see any complaints.
And then Hearts Rangers, obviously, Miofsky's goal offside. Chopped off. And I was thinking, did he even need to touch it? He did. It was going wide.
Was it?
Yeah, it was. I think it was just going wide. So
you know, I had a few looks at that as well. Yeah. And I'm thinking, did he have to be? But
yeah,
as a striker, let me tell you now, I'm putting that in.
Oh, well, exactly. But it was the right decision in the end. So yeah, just the shocker at St Mirren this week. And this is the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Stephen Mill, Gordon DL. Let's get on to some Who Dares Win, shall we? So what was the topic last week? I forget. What was it last week?
I made a mess.
League Cup managers.
League Cup winning managers.
I made a mess.
Gabs did it for me last week. Well done, Gabs. Yeah. Right, what we got this week, John?
Right, okay. Sports personality of the year. Did you see that shambles last week?
Oh my God, it was so bad.
It was so cringy.
The stuff with Ian Stirling, it was horrific. It was
awful.
Who
won it this year?
Rory McIlroy. Which I think is totally fine. Then some English rugby lassie. And
okay, I'll name one.
Lando Norris. finished third. But no, the Scotland thing, was one of the most patronising, belittling pieces of shite that I've ever seen in my life. It
brutal.
Was so bad.
Brutal.
And it was. And by the way, you would expect me to say this, but that's all come from BBC Down South. Like, that's somebody in Manchester or London going, it was an amazing that Scotland...
Oh, protecting the BBC, that's it. Look at that. You've changed your tune, since the good BBC money's rolled in.
I would just like to say there is a difference between BBC Scotland and BBC Network, is what I would say.
Okay.
anyway.
Keep the paymasters happy, Stephen. So I've done it based on that. So it's a bit different. We're a wee bit off the football kilter, but I think it's fine. Since its inception in 1954, 13 Scots have been in the top three for Sports Personality of the Year. How many can you name?
Well, I don't know if I'm a lot of confidence because I had to ask who won the last one. Who's to bid first?
That's
me.
Yeah.
Out of 13.
13, I'll go four.
Five.
I'll go six.
Seven.
No. How many is it?
13. You've got seven in you, Stephen.
Yeah, I've got...
I think so.
I'm going to try. I'll go eight.
On you go. On you go. I'm just noting down just now.
Right. Daz.
Famous Scots.
You've got to name eight.
Oh, no.
That were in the top three for Sports Personality of the Year. And it's probably more in your wheelhouse because it started in 1954, so you've got age.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm going to go with obvious ones. Andy Murray?
Yeah. It's like won it three times.
He's the most successful person.
2013, 2015, and 2016, and he was third in 2012.
Footballers. Must Dalglish.
Dalglish is in there. 1986, became third. Only third?
He came third.
Aye. Surprise. And I'll give you a clue. No, I won't give you the clue.
No, don't give him a clue.
All right, okay.
Stephen Henry.
Oh, that's a good one.
Stephen Henry, second in 1990. Yeah. Only a surprise that Stephen Henry's not won more either, actually.
I've got a golfer one, but I don't know.
A golfer?
Yeah. For his famous shot, Augusta.
Oh.
I'm thinking, I don't put it in yet, I'm thinking Sandy Lyle.
Sandy Lyle, you're locking that in?
Yeah, go.
Sandy Lyle's right.
He was the first person I noted
that. Third in 1988. That's four down.
Oh, many of us still to go.
Four.
Oh my God.
I've got another three written down, so I've written down seven.
One's a certainty. Sir Chris Hoy?
Yeah. Sir Chris Hoy, aye. Yeah, 100%. Won it in 2008. He only won it once as well. That's surprising.
He what?
He only won it once.
Aye, because, well, in 2012 he won another gold, didn't he?
Aye.
But think of the amount of people who won golds in 2012. So.
Right, I'm going right back, John.
Right. Oh, right, you're going right back.
Oh, yeah. Jackie Stewart, racing driver.
Jackie Stewart. Sir Jackie Stewart.
Must be.
He's got Sir in front of his name, so you would think so. And yeah, you're right.
I've got him written down as well.
How many is that?
One, two.
You've got two to get. I've only got one more written down.
Have you got one more written down?
Yeah.
Which sports? oh. Same as Jackie Stewart. What's his name? Is it Jim or John Clark? Jim Clark,
Formula One driver. Yeah. Twice.
Ooh.
In the top three.
How
third
many of us still
you've got one to get.
And second in 1965. One more to get.
And
there's some tough names in the remaining list. One, no, it's a tough, I would say.
Right. I can't remember a second name, right? Because she changed her name, the runner.
She changed her name?
Because she got married.
Liz, I'm not even going down that road. She's definitely in there, isn't she? I can't remember her name. Swimmer. way back in the day. Wilkie. David Wilkie. Swimmer.
David Wilkie. Swimmer. You're locking that in.
Hold on. I'm either locking that in or I'm locking in Liz. Is it McColgan? Is it Liz McColgan?
What are you going for?
God, help me, John.
No.
Yeah. No. Just nod. Is one of them correct?
You can't see him.
I know, but I can hear him. Right. David Wilkie, I remember sitting watching the Olympic gate. Breaststroke. I'm sure I sat in my living room and seen David Wilkie up on that stage.
David Wilkie, are you going for that?
Yeah, lock it in, John.
Yeah! And do you know what? Liz McColgan was on the list as well.
I had Liz
she
McColgan
was first
written
in 1991.
What was her name before that?
No, her name was Liz McColgan.
Oh, was it?
Yeah,
Liz McColgan. She
changed her name, yeah, and she got married. Well, her daughter, Eilish,
yeah.
She wouldn't have been in it, but I got Alan Wells written down as
Alan
well.
Alan Wells is not there, Stephen.
Is he not?
Oh.
He won 100 metres.
No, well, Alan Wells didn't get
I'll tell you, Colin McRae, the driver.
Correct. I call McRae made it in for winning the World Rally Championship back in the 90s.
I thought about maybe
two more to get. Yeah, three more to get.
Have we heard of that? Are they hard?
Yeah, they're both before your time. Both swimming.
Duncan Goodhue.
No, Duncan Goodhue wasn't Scottish.
He's English.
I thought he was Scottish.
No. Right, I'll give it. He'll never get this. Ian Black, 58 and 59. He was first.
Oh,
in
I played with Rangers and Hearts.
Swimming. So there you got that.
Ian Black. Never
Bobby McGregor swimming. He came second in 1963. And the final one is a really tough one. I didn't think she would have been on it, but she was third in 2022.
Third in 2022.
I really fancy her. Like, I've got a real thing for her.
Oh, I'm glad your wife's not like that.
Don't listen. I hope she's the wife's not listening.
What sport?
If I give you the sport, I'll give it away. Curling.
Oh, Eve Muirhead.
There you go. 2022.
She's
apparently a very good golfer as well.
She is an excellent golfer. She's a St Johnston fan as well.
Yeah.
I interviewed her a few weeks ago.
Oh, there
she's very nice. She's
right,
very
that's a victory for the
Dazzler. Right, there we go. That's the victory. Right, you okay? Do you want to do the mass football?
Oh, yes. Aye. Right, give us a wee reminder of what happened last week, John.
Right, so we know so far for the mass footballer, they weren't an international, they're not playing anymore, they don't work in the media, that was Daz's question last week. They've also not managed a team and are neither a goalkeeper or a midfielder. By the way, shout out, if you're listening to this on the Monday, it's the Super Scoreboard Christmas Quiz of the Year on Tuesday night. Mark Wilson returning to the show against the Dazzler. It should be a good fun, and this is going to be one of the rounds. I'm going to give you a code as this is going to be one of the rounds on the show. And we're also doing Who Dares Wins tomorrow as well.
So you've got plenty of practice in.
So you've got plenty of practice. So you have an advantage over Mark through working on this podcast.
Give me the same questions you give today.
I mean, knowing Johnny, probably will.
And I'll probably get it wrong.
Right, okay. So this person doesn't work in the media, not a manager.
Not a defender, not a midfield player.
Remember, you keep asking questions till they say no.
Has he played for either Old Firm teams?
No.
What's your question going, Daz?
Have you played for either Edinburgh team?
You can't keep sticking to the Edinburgh teams. It was Edinburgh last time.
I know John, though, and he's a lazy bastard.
Falkirk.
Yeah.
He's a Falkirk player.
That is both two laws. Two laws.
Right, let's go on with the shootout quiz then. Okay, come on then. It's a big Christmas shootout quiz.
It is.
I don't want any of that.
Don't want any of what?
The screen thing.
That's shit. I'm afraid there is a screen one this week, Daz.
No,
I'm sorry.
Right, come on.
Right, okay. It is the big shootout quiz, penalty shootout style. It's 10-10, by the way. Daz has won the last four in a row.
I know, he's been on good form.
He beat Gabs last week as well.
My mum watches every week and she's been impressed by your quizzing knowledge over the past
few weeks.
She
might not be impressed today.
Yeah,
I thought she'd do so.
Yeah. Right. Well, to be fair, Gabs thought you were getting fed the questions, so.
Ugh.
Accusations being thrown out left, right and centre here.
Listen, I'm not saying that is the case. I think Daz is
I've just been really impressed with them.
Okay,
it's Christmas themed this week. It's the last one before Christmas, so I've got a few Christmas themed questions for you. First to win wins, generally. That's how the quiz works. There we go. Right, okay, gentlemen, are we ready for our questions? The first question is, see, Christmas theme. What club connects Christians, Nerlinger and Daly? What club connects Christians, Nerlinger and Daly?
What?
Oh, it's Christmas, so it's Christians, isn't it?
Oh, right.
Baby Jesus and all that. So, what club connects Christians?
I'm actually beginning to doubt myself,
Nerlinger
because that's
Daly.
So incredibly easy.
Yeah, well, I struggle for Christmas questions. I'm going to be honest with you.
Right.
Yeah, well, listen, you painted yourself into a corner there. I think we've both got an answer.
Right, okay, both
you
got an answer.
How do you spell Borussia Mönchengladbach? It's Rangers, obviously.
What have you written down, Daz?
Rangers.
Okay. Right, okay. Rangers. 1-1. Right, okay, next question. It's Say What You Say, Daz! Say What You Say is amazing. Right, okay, right, so I'm going to put up a picture on the screen behind me.
No,
you've got 30
one.
Seconds
you got
to identify the footballer from the pictures that are on the screen. Are you ready for this week's Say What You See?
Yes.
And they're on the screen now.
Got it.
Christmas theme, you see.
Got that one.
You got that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Plays with Hibs.
Yep. On you go.
Rocky Bashiri.
Yeah.
What have you written down, Stephen?
I've written down the right answer, which is Rocky Santa Cruz.
Yeah, that's how Daz? Right, so there's pictures. We've got Rocky, we've got Sylvester Stallone on there, Santa, and we've got a boat.
Rocky Santa Cruz.
Where are you getting Rocky Bashiri from those pictures?
Siri.
Rocky.
Rocky.
Bushy beard.
Right, there you go. It is Rocky Santa Cruz, because it's got a Christmas theme, you see.
Oh,
I know he didn't play in Scotland, but I was really struggling for players with Santa in their name.
I was so confident I had that.
Yeah.
Right, come on.
Right, you'll struggle with this one, I think. Name any of the sides Scotland international Holly Thompson played for. Name any of the sides Scotland international Holly Thompson played for.
Who the fuck's Holly Thompson?
She played for Scotland women.
Right.
Because it could be like Holly Johnson.
Any of the sides that Holly Thompson played for.
any of the sides.
You just take a guess here.
Yes, I don't know the career and times of Holly Thompson. Apologies to the Thompson family.
No, I'm the same. I'll apologise as well.
So I've just taken a punt.
So that. I don't even know if they're a team.
Brilliant.
Great. What are you going for? You've gone for Glasgow City?
Going for Glasgow City.
And Marshall has saved! Yes!
Hibs.
Hibs. I can't believe you know that. What an absolute, you flipped that.
Everybody knows that Holly Thompson played for Hibs.
Who else did she play for?
Just Rangers and Hibs.
I was going to go Rangers as well.
I know that Hibs are a decent women's side, yeah. So that's why I went for them. I easily could have gone for Glasgow.
It is 3-1 to Stephen.
I need a top bin, John.
You going for a top bin?
Yeah.
You going for it the now? It's only question four.
If I go top bin and get it wrong, I'm beaten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas if you wait for the next one, at least you can equalise.
Right, okay.
Right, okay.
Or I might get it wrong, you might get this right, and then it's only one.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I don't think that's happening.
Right. Next question. It's a who am I?
Oh, piss off.
Here is your who am I for this week. I was born on Christmas Day, and during my playing career, played with Stenismuir, Stirling Albion and the Shire. I was better known as a manager, however, and took charge of Aberdeen, Dundee United and Ross County, as well as the Scotland under-21s. Who am I?
What?
Born on Christmas Day, played for Steny, Stirling Albion and the Shire, better known as a manager, however, taking charge of Aberdeen, Dundee United and Ross County, as well as the Scotland under-21s.
I've got that.
Have you, mate?
Yeah.
Give me a couple of seconds, my brain isn't going fast enough. Scotland under-21s.
Aberdeen, Dundee United, Ross County.
Aberdeen. He managed Aberdeen?
Aye.
I've no idea.
Born on Christmas Day. Right, Stephen.
Okay. You've gone for
Barry Robson.
Barry Robson. Stephen, what have you went for?
Alex Smith.
Alex Smith.
That's some shout.
Alex Smith.
That's hold on. If that's Alex Smith, I'm chucking it.
It is Alex Smith.
Alex
Smith, 85 on Christmas Day, currently living in Australia as well living his best life.
Well,
so there we go.
Well,
how did you get that?
One more question to spare. There we go.
Yeah. Do you want to ask a question?
I go for it, yeah.
Roy Carroll. Yep. Carroll.
Yeah.
See what I did there. Joined Rangers from which club?
Man U.
Man United.
West Ham.
Oh well.
Do you want to talk? I'm giving you a top bin.
It's Christmas. Top bin. It's Christmas. Come
right,
on.
Your top bin, Stephen, was how many caps did Noel Hunt get for Ireland?
For Ireland? I don't know. 21.
Oh, we got three.
Oh, did he?
Oh, we got three. And your Christmas question, Daz, was which former Scotland captain capped the 57 times was born on Christmas Day?
Dan Fletcher.
No, it's Gary McAllister.
It is Gary McAllister. It is.
I don't know why I know that.
Right, there you go. Well done.
That's
a Christmas miracle.
It's a Christmas miracle. I take the lead, finally, or the host take the lead in the quiz. And that's just about it from us. We'll be back next Monday. No Sweaty Octopus next week because he's on a staff contract. So we'll have a replacement producer yet to be determined. So we'll find
Jay's coming to do it.
Oh, is it Jay? All right, okay, that's fine. Okay, so producer Jay will be in looking after us next week. Gordon, I will see you next Monday.
Next Monday, have a nice Christmas.
Yeah, you have a good Christmas as well. And everyone listening, watching, thank you very much for all your comments. You can leave all your comments on YouTube as per usual. And from myself, Stephen Mill, Gordon DL, Sweaty Octopus producer John, have a very lovely Christmas. Clydeham Super Scoreboard continues tonight from 6 o'clock tonight, obviously. And for all the big festive matches, make sure you've got the guys on. And cheery bye. Merry Christmas, one and all. Bye bye. See you next time.